The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, here we are, the fourth Sunday of Advent. Advent, as you know, is a time of patient, prayerful preparation to once again celebrate the great feast of the Incarnation, the Nativity, Christmas, that great gift when God himself became a human being to bring about salvation to us all. But it's also supposed to be preparation for the second coming of Christ in time, in glory, on the clouds of glory. Now, this Christmas will be my 66th celebration of Christmas, and I think I got that down. So I'm thinking, come on, God, how about the second one? Come on, I'm ready and I'm waiting. I may not be totally prepared and I'm not patient, but I want you to come, hurry up. That's supposed to be the attitude we have, because of course as we look at the world and all the suffering and tragedy and violence, it's only God, only Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, who can bring an end to all of that. And that's what we pray for, what we hope for. Our actions, our words should be encouraging others to prepare for that. And we're supposed to be praying to God, "Lord, come soon, come soon." But of course, as we look at what's going on in the world and in our own lives, in fact, what we're doing right now, we already see some of the fulfillment of what God has intended from the very beginning. The fact that we are here is a fulfillment of what was promised to Abraham and what Paul talks about in Romans today. The Gentiles have been gathered to the Lord. That's why we're here. We're the Gentiles. So the fulfillment is happening even as I speak to you. But of course, we want more, and that's a good thing, so that hopefully in our words and in our actions, we're going to be doing things that call people's attention to Jesus Christ, who alone is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Savior of the world. He is the one, the only one, who could save us from our sins. So we pray for that. But as we pray for that, we've also got to be mindful that if we truly pray for that, if we truly call ourselves Christians, if we truly want to be disciples of the Lord, we have to expect the Lord will come into our lives and make a mess. You're going to make a mess of things. Because when we have God come into our lives, things have to change. They can't stay the way they are. They can't. So take Joseph today. He was going to divorce Mary quietly, but the angel said no, and so he allowed God to enter into his life, and his life was changed, totally changed. Didn't expect it, totally changed. And if we look at the saints throughout the centuries, when they invited the Lord into their lives were totally changed. Take Francis of Assisi, everybody talks about him. Total change, unexpected. And yet, it seemed fitting because he gave his life over to the Lord. So he went from being a very rich, powerful person to a poor man. And yet he was filled with God, filled with the Holy Spirit. He was really a perfect example of a disciple, someone who says, yes, Lord, come into my life. I'm willing to mess up my life, to change it so that I can serve you. And so the invitation is always there to us as well. The more we make way for God in our hearts, that's what Advent's all about, preparation. The more we open our hearts, the more we say to the Lord, Lord, take control of my life. Or say to our guardian angel, okay, you can do anything. You have my permission to do anything you need to do so that I can be focused on you and faithful to the Lord. When we do that, we have to expect that things are going to change, and probably not in the way we want them to change. So again, you know, I'm 66 and I'm thinking, I'm not sure I would have signed on for all of this if I knew this was going to happen. But that's part of the gospel, that God is always alive in our lives. He's always active in our hearts and our minds, if we want him to be. And if we truly follow him in our hearts and our minds, we have to constantly, constantly be adjusting our lives to suit God, the will of God, to change our lives, to radically alter what we want, our willfulness, so that we can do the will of God. And it is life-altering. And it should be that way. It should be that way every day. And when I hear confessions and people talk about, you know, I'm still a sinner, blah, so forth and so on. Well, that's good that we know we're sinners, because that's how God wants us to keep working on our faith, to open our hearts, to confess our sins, and then go forth and boldly and courageously be Christian disciples. So, again, look at Paul. Paul was a persecutor of the church. He had a nice, cushy life. He was well-respected. People looked up to him. And then suddenly he's converted by God on his way to Damascus, and his whole life changed. Whole life changed overnight. He no longer was this person held up by everyone as a great Jewish persecutor of the church, but he actually became a follower of Jesus Christ. So he had to keep changing what he was doing and how he was doing it in order to do it the way God was calling him to do it. So we have plenty of examples in the scriptures. Take any of the great leaders. Take Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Take David. Take Moses. Once they allowed God into their lives were changed. John the Baptist, Jesus, the apostles, Paul. When they allowed Jesus into their lives were changed. And Jesus, of course, is the perfect example of that. He was God. He is God. He became a human being. And yet, what did he become for us? Not a king on a cloud of glory. He became a slave. That's what the scriptures say. Now, talk about messing up your life, changing your life. He became a slave. And that's what Paul says in the scripture today, I, Paul, a slave. So maybe that's a good image that we need to take with us, that if we truly have opened our hearts to the Lord, we need to look at ourselves as slaves, not just servants, that's kind of easy, but a slave. A slave is one who is totally at the beck and call of their master. In this case, Jesus is our master. And we are a slave to him. And if we look at what he did in his life, curing people, healing people, teaching people, then that's what we have to do as well. That's our mission. That's our vocation. And yes, it can be very hard and difficult because we get into very comfortable ways of living our lives. We don't want to have to deal with problem people. We don't have to want to deal with going out into the world and exposing our beliefs to other people's possible ridicule. But that's what we're called to do. So the more we want to be good disciples of the Lord, the more we open ourselves to God, the more we have to expect that there will be changes in our lives. And God's not going to coerce us into changing. He invites us into changing. And so we have to say to the Lord, yes, Lord, I want to change, and then go about changing, kind of writing up a list of how am I going to change my life to be better focused on the will of God. How can I better show God in my words and in my deeds that he is the center of my life, and I'm willing to let go of anything and everything in order to be a faithful disciple. But that's the nitty-gritty challenge of the gospel. It's not meant to comfort us, except when we suffer in the name of Christ, then there is that comfort there. But it is meant to shake us up, to change our lives. So the more we do that, the more we say to the Lord, yes, Lord, I want to do your will, the more God will act in our lives, the more we will change in our lives, the more we will become like Jesus, who is the perfect model of one who is faithful to the will of the Father. So on this last Sunday of Advent, as we prepare to once again celebrate the incarnation of the Lord and to prepare for his second coming, let's pray that we will be on fire as disciples. We will be willing to invite the Lord into our hearts every day, and especially to be willing to change our lives, to change them radically, so that we can be better and better at proclaiming the gospel that Jesus Christ and he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. That's our call. That's our call to look at Advent as something every day of the year, always preparing for the coming of Christ into our lives in many, many ways, ways that we may like, ways we may not like, but nonetheless, God coming into our lives so that we can truly be faithful. So as you go forth again, to think about how you are a slave to the Lord, and how well are you doing as a slave? How well are you serving God and your brothers and sisters? Because that's what it's all about. That's why Jesus came, so that we could do the will of God, just as Jesus perfectly did the will of his Father.